And we've got the roundtable assembled to talk about yesterday's 17-16 loss to the Eagles. Get right to it. Jim, I guess if we said that we thought this would be that kind of a game, a 1 point down to the last seconds game against the Eagles beforehand and a loss, we'd be saying, you know what, that's pretty good for a Browns team that has generated such low expectations, at least nationally.
Yeah, absolutely. And as the game unfolded, I mean, I thought that they were going to get out of there with a win, and because I thought it was a tremendous defensive performance that they were turning in. I mean, since they've come back in 1999, there haven't been many like that, and I thought that they were doing it right in front of our very eyes. Vic, I want to be honest with you, because this is an honest show. It's a round table. We got to lay it out.
Yes.
All right. I was not comfortable coming out of that preseason that quarterback had played enough. Mm. I really wasn't. I was, I know he played a little bit in Detroit, and he played more in Green Bay. He did not finish the half against Philadelphia. McCoy finished the first half on that night at the stadium, and he didn't play at all against Chicago. And I thought that if you're going to make a plan, that you're going to go with a rookie quarterback and so many other rookies around him, that you were going to use the four games to play him more. And, you know, I just could not answer. When people would say, is he going to be ready to play? I could not answer confidently and say, yeah, I think he's going to be ready to play.
A part of me says, what rookie would be? And we know the answer to the question now, that RG3 had the game of his life, at least in his first game. But the other all four of the rest of the rookies that started struggled. That doesn't make Browns fans or Brandon Whedon feel any better, or the coaches, I'm sure. But despite that, and as much as he struggled, Doug, in the preseason, I didn't think we'd see that kind of performance. That was still below even his worst moments of the preseason.
No, I think, you know, he wasn't on the same page with his receivers. I think early on he was more accurate than he was later on. And I don't know if it was a case of trying to overdo it. But there was a couple, you know, throws where the one that little, you know, hit him in the hands was intercepted. And, you know, Benjamin's got to fight for the ball. But with that said, you don't throw the ball, you know, where he threw it. I mean, you let Benjamin run or, you know, use his speed to, you know, outrun the cornerback. And, you know, no involvement by Little whatsoever. Ben Watson, of course, has missed all of training camp, and you know, there was no chemistry, and I think that showed, and I think that's the only way you're going to get chemistry is playing together.
He's 100% right. And piggybacking off of Doug, I felt like somebody needed to make a play, and nobody was making a play, whether it was a little dropping the ball that Pat Shurmur said today hit him in the neck, or, you know, the lack of a running game obviously hurt Whedon as well. You know, he didn't see Ben Watson on what could have been a huge play in the first half, you know, in the deep left flat. Right. So he didn't seem to see the field well, and I have to agree with Jimmy. I mean, if we're going to be, you know, full disclosure here, I didn't think he was ready either. I thought he should have played a lot more, particularly in that last preseason game.
And to add to that, you know, with the way training camp has been cut down now, you're cutting more reps out too.
We're all in agreement on that. I think that there was a readiness question, but again, I wondered how ready, even a half or whatever it would have been against Chicago, how much that would have made a difference. Who knows? But here's the other part of this, guys. As a whole, we saw far too many familiar problems with this offense. We saw, as we say, passes being dropped, receivers either struggling to get open or not fighting for the ball. We saw an offensive line that couldn't get any push whatsoever. They did a little decent work with pass protection. But, Jim, the promise was that this offense would get better. Right. I do think they've done the right things in terms of adding that talent, but it does still make you, it gets stuck in your craw when you see the same thing.
You know, Vic, I'm going to go back to your good friend from Sirius NFL Radio, Pat Kerwin, and I listened to him the day he did the show here from Berea, and they brought their show to cover the Browns that day. And he, in wrapping up the Browns, and I throw this out to everybody, he said, I think they have a major problem. I don't think in press coverage their receivers can get off the line of scrimmage and get open.
Right.
Amen. Game, set, and match. Thank you, linesmen. Thank you, ball boys. That's it. And I think you're right. I mean, that was it yesterday.
It's the roundtable. Jim Donovan, voice of the Browns. Doug Deacon, the Browns analyst of the radio network. And Tom Withers of the AP joining us here. Guys, we saw Trent Richardson look like a guy who definitely needed more time for conditioning, I think, to get himself kind of ready and you know, get into the game as a guy who had missed the entire preseason. So that was difficult, but his effort was there. Certainly, his, you know, he was trying. I wonder the combination of that plus a line that, again, didn't always give him the holes. But where do you see that? Because I can only see that going uphill, you know, going getting better, because he's just going to get more aerobic conditioning and more football conditioning.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think you'll see a dramatic change in him this week as they get set for the Bengals. I think that's just going to get better and better. I mean, that's just reps and him getting out on the field. Imagine that, Doug, going out in your first game, and it's for real, and you're going to go up against the Philadelphia Eagles, who are really – playing very, very well and have had the flame turned up, that they have to have an exceptional year by their owner.
Well, I think there's a confidence factor. If you don't get plays in and you don't, you know, have a feel for the game, you're just trying to get something positive, so you're running straight ahead. You're not looking for cutback lanes. You're not, you know, bouncing it to the outside.
Right.
You're just trying to make sure every play is positive. And, you know, other than the one where he turned Coleman into roadkill, you know, he really struggled.
You know, not to second guess, but maybe they did rush him too fast here, Vic, to be ready for this game. You know, in the brief times that we got to watch him last week out there, I did notice Gary Brown, you know, quizzing him on the field. You know, what are you supposed to be running?
Right.
So, and I don't know how the week of practice went, but, you know, there may have been a rush to get him out there. And I can see why. I mean,
just
obviously he's a
yeah.
huge part of what this team is going to be going forward.
So, Doug, the offensive line, though, a big story on those struggles in the running game in particular. It was familiar because we saw only a couple of weeks back that Eagles defensive line, those stout and fast and athletic guys, having the edge over the Browns blockers. But where do you see this going, with especially with the guards and their play going forward?
Well, First off, the wide nine makes it really tough to get outside. You know, I think you got to run crackbacks, and, you know, Lord knows we do have the receivers to crack back. They're good-sized guys.
Yeah.
But I just think it's the timing and the chemistry of playing together, where, you know, Richardson gets a feel and, you know, sets up blocks, you know, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, it was almost like he just wanted to get to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and granted, this is a quick defense, so you,
sure.
you can't dance in the backfield. But with that said, you know, good running backs will set up, you know, the blocks for you.
You know, the other thing, too, is the next step for him, I think, will be he's got to make some people miss.
I totally agree.
You know,
yeah. Yeah.
And he will. But,
right.
I mean,
and
yesterday,
can,
I think
can, yeah.
it was a straight line, and I think he's such a powerful and low center of gravity that he can move the pile a great
yeah.
deal.
And I kept waiting for them to get him the ball out in space,
yeah.
Vic. I mean, there were I know they tried that one screen to him that I believe
right.
he dropped, but
yep.
I kept waiting for, like, a swing pass or something just to mm-hmm. get him outside and around the corner. But as Doug said, it's tough to get out there with that wide nine.
I think the good news is that's going to improve. That
yeah.
area, that the running game in particular, but I think Richardson overall, it'll get better. Now, with regard to go for two or not go for two after the DeQuell Jackson touchdown, let's just spin it around the table. I'll give you my answer. I thought about it briefly. I looked at the clock and said, nah, way too early.
Yeah.
And you know, the argument is now made in hindsight that what difference does it make? But it can make a difference. At that point, my football sense told me no. What did it tell you?
You know what? I thought it was the right – I'm okay with what he did. 13:49 left to go in the game.
Yes.
I think when Jackson scores, there's a lot of football left. You got you know, hopefully you can keep them away from it. And maybe you can get closer with Dawson. The other thing was that they were having trouble on short yardage anyway. You know, what said that they had a good enough play that they could dial up and get in?
I had no problem with it. I mean, I think the time dictated the circumstances. So, you know, I think that was the right call. I mean, the other thing that might be questioned was on that third down pass to Morasic. Do you run it to keep them out of because
right.
you gave them a little bit of momentum when they got the ball back and they go and score before the half. But, you know, the execution was the problem. It wasn't the call.
Yeah, I think NFL coaches are still struggling with the two-point conversion, too. When do you use it? When do
right.
you don't? I think it's a tougher decision when you're ahead. And especially when your defense is playing as well as it is, it's almost like a concession. Okay, we know they're going to score again, so we're trying to get the math right,
yeah.
so we're further ahead. I think that's the wrong move. And to Jimmy's point, you know, what were they going to run in that situation? You've already got a quarterback who's struggling. You've just had a game-changing momentum play, positive energy in the building.
That the defense
yeah. made, but why yeah. then bring in the offense and suddenly you have a down note?
A down,
right.
Yeah. No, I'm there with that. And I to hear Pat Shurmur talk about it at the press conference, I think he said the right thing. It's you're trying to go as late as possible into yeah. the game before you go to that. Talking about something that did happen in a good way, the way this defense played, particularly the way these young linebackers played, and the shame of this game is that you get a defensive performance like that and you can't celebrate it with a win.
Oh, I thought those kids were a terrific. wow, I mean, that they find these kids. And, you know, you wonder, are they just preseason wonders? I mean, because you get that kind of play sometimes where a guy lights it up in the preseason and then you put him out there on the first Sunday of the regular season. And, you know, he just doesn't belong. But LJ, Ford, and Robertson were all over the field. I give the kid Ford a lot of credit. He stood up in front of his locker, you know, after the game when he didn't make the interception, and he explained the situation. But boy, I mean, I'm wondering, did they find linebackers here? I mean, you would think that we'd be talking about, you know, the guy that was the number 3 overall pick and the guy that was the number 22 pick. We're talking about two guys that weren't drafted.
The thing is, you know, they did give up 456 yards, but, you know, that number is obscured by the fact that they got the 5 takeaways. And, you know, that's something that this defense was missing last year. And if you can get that, you know, and hopefully the offense gets in sync, then, you know, you'll get more of a production from the offensive side.
I'm not sure I've ever seen Michael Vick look as bad, and I think it's a credit to the pressure that they had on him from the first snap. I thought they did a really nice job, you know, flushing
nice
him
scheme.
Out. And, you know, he had 4 picks, and he could have had 7.
You know, Vick, Doug told a great story. Howard Mudd, his old line coach, now the offensive line coach with Philadelphia, said.
He said, make sure you tell Dick Geron that was a heck of a game plan because he had us stymied.
This is how the two of us work. We just I'll lay it out there, and he hits it out.
He is Jim Donovan. He is Doug Deacon, the fine pair from the Browns Radio Network, and Tom Withers from AP, the Roundtable. Guys, we'll reconvene on Friday, and we'll talk about the Cincinnati game.
Okay. Of course, if I wasn't here, he would have stole my line.
Absolutely.
And no game balls this week, but I think maybe Deacon and Donovan deserve one for beginning their 14th season together here
Thank
in Cleveland.
You.
I mean, for I like all that. The turmoil and turbulence over the last 13 years, here's two guys we can count on.
Yeah, by the way, you brought up the new rule. I'm only going to give them out after wins.
I like that.
That's
right.
Yeah, we had to give one to Dick Goddard because Dick Goddard was a Brown stat man for about 50 years.
Right.
And finally
I think Truman
retired.
Was in office when he started.
Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.